Word on Today FM.
So it's time to turn to travel, and I suppose as is appropriate for a travel correspondent, Sarah Slattery is away, but she has, from the travelexpert.ie, given us Caitlin Murphy to join us today. Thank you for being with us.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Now, I want to talk to you about Japan. And yeah. I think this is a country that many Irish people, well, I wouldn't say many, but some Irish people have been to. I was fortunate enough to be there for the first time 2 years ago and absolutely loved Tokyo. But I want to go beyond Tokyo on my next visit and see the rest of the country. And you actually managed to pack an awful lot in during an 8-day trip in November.
I did, yeah. I travelled from Australia to Japan for 8 days and I managed to fit in 3 major cities with 2 day trips to smaller kind of towns, which included the Nara Park, and then also obviously went to the Universal Studios, which was unreal.
Okay, tell us a little bit. Let's start with Tokyo, though, because I think that's where the entry point for most people into Japan. And it suddenly just strikes me, a lot of Irish people have been there between the 2002 World Cup and then the Rugby World Cup in 2019 and many other reasons. But Japan, Tokyo is just almost jaw-dropping when you see it first, isn't it?
It really is. It's out of this world. There's so much to do, so much to see. And obviously it's so big. Like, each neighbourhood has its own different, like, culture, and each like different bars and restaurants and different kind of vibe in the different parts. It's absolutely unbelievable. I really loved Tokyo now, and I was delighted that I kind of left it last on my trip. It kind of just finished off the Japan trip for me, and it was absolutely amazing.
Okay, so what did you do particularly in Tokyo that you would recommend to people?
I love the Shibuya Sky observation deck, which has, especially when you get a clear day, you have amazing views over the city. So we had a really clear day with blue skies, and you can nearly see out towards Mount Fuji. And then you obviously have the day trip to Mount Fuji as well, which is unreal. You can go and do it by yourself if you want on the trains, or you can organise a day trip with like a bus or a tour company. So they were the main two that I did. And then we also went to a museum, which was kind of an alternative museum. It's called Team Lab Planets.
It's magnificent.
Yeah, it's all about your senses, and you have to take off your shoes, and it's really, really amazing.
And sort of paddle through the water, and then you get into this sort of immersive thing. It's one of the most calming experiences, and it's just beautiful just to sit down and see all the moving images around you.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was really relaxing. You're right.
And what else did you do there? Did you go to the Golden Gate? Is that how you pronounce it? Gai?
The Golden Gate, yeah. So that was obviously a small little street with loads of bars, and you can only fit around 6 to 10 people in the bar. So kind of a lot of queuing and stuff, but it is really popular to go and see it. It's in the area of Shinjuku. So you definitely have to go to Golden Gate, and you meet loads of locals, and the bar staff are really, really friendly. So we just went to a little one, and it was kind of like a Mario team, like a Nintendo. So they had loads of little quirky video games and little trinkets about Universal. So it was really cool.
Yeah, we had a great night in there as well. With a lot of Irish people after the Tokyo Marathon.
But yeah, anyway, I can imagine.
But it was great fun. It's just the size of the place, though, is just quite sure. We also did one of the boat trips along the river to see it, and also a bus trip around the city. And it takes so long to get around, and just to see this incredible scale as it builds up. But then when you go out to Tokyo, what in particular did you go to?
So my first stop was actually Osaka, which would be the third largest city in Japan. It's known as the kitchen of Japan. So really nice food and kind of Michelin stars all around that area. But that wasn't as built up as Tokyo, but still, like, you still have the city lights and the kind of vibe of Tokyo, but like a smaller scale. There's the largest shopping street in Japan in Osaka, which is really cool. You feel like it's never going to end. And then obviously you have Universal Studios, which has gone really, really popular with the Nintendo world. So we did a day trip there, and we've done a few different shrines and temples and stuff in Osaka. But really, really cool to see. And that also has a river through the city, which you can do boat trips up and down and take in all the city lights.
Okay. And then what about Kyoto?
Kyoto is like stepping back in time. So really cultural experience. It feels like I literally was in Japan maybe 50 or 60 years ago. It's really untouched. Like, there is a part of it where it has new buildings and stuff like that, but the old town itself, the Gion district, is where you'll find all the geisha girls and stuff like that all dressed up in their kimonos. And it was absolutely amazing. The old houses and people making matcha, and just the vibe is really like old and like you're going into like an old town in Europe somewhere, but you're actually obviously in Asia. But it was really, really cool to see.
Okay, so some of the things to do and see in Japan that are very popular. Tell us a bit about Nara.
Nara, yeah. So we went on a day trip from Kyoto, which was actually really easy to do. You can stay in Nara if you wanted to, but it's most popular for the deer park. So you can go and feed the deers. They do bow to you. So if you bow, they'll bow back. It was really, really, really nice to do and nice to see a different part of it. It's not as built up. The park is huge. I think it's one of the oldest in Japan. So that was really nice and really wholesome to go and do. And it would be nice if you had like kids with you and stuff like that. And just, it was kind of a real chill day to do. So that was Nara Park. And there's also a few shrines around that area as well.
Okay. I should have asked you more about Mount Fuji though, when you mentioned it earlier.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about why Mount Fuji is just such an impressive place to visit.
So it's really an important place for obviously Japanese people. So they love their nature. And obviously when you get a clear day, you just know why, because it's the most, probably one of the most amazing places I've ever been. So it's really sacred to the Japanese people. And it's still an active volcano and a UNESCO World Heritage Site. So I'm not sure people know that it's still an active volcano. So a lot of the Japanese people would go there for like worship and stuff like that since ancient times. And it's just breathtaking. Like, I was actually so shocked when I got there and that we had a clear day and you could actually see it. Now, there was no snow on it just yet, because when I went in November it was still quite warm, but just to see it with your own eyes is just amazing. And pulling up to the train station, you don't actually realize how big it is until you are there and see it with your own two eyes. It was really, really special.
And then did you take the boat cruise?
I didn't know. I was very short on time. So we literally got the train ourselves and then made our way back. We did a few viewpoints and stuff like that. But I would definitely, if I'm going back to Japan, I'll definitely maybe stay a night or two out there in Lake Karaguchi and see around a little bit more around there.
Okay. Hakone, what's that?
Hakone, yeah. So that one is actually coming popular and it's around the Mount Fuji area. So it is kind of natural beauty. You have like the sulfur springs, so really nice if you're into kind of nature and stuff like that. A lot of walk and tours, and it's kind of quiet, like, so if you'd be like into it more if you were maybe done a few days in Tokyo and you just wanted to kind of quieten down and relax. But there's a golden gate, a red gate that kind of sticks out of the lake. And then obviously you have views of Mount Fuji as well. So that would be really nice to tie in if you were after Tokyo, just to wind down and kind of get a quieter feel for the Japanese countryside, I suppose.
Hiroshima, of course, is famous as the site of the atomic bombing that ended World War II. Is this a place that tourists are encouraged to visit?
Yeah, definitely. They obviously want to encourage people to explore more of the hidden gems of Japan. I would have loved to go there in my trip, I just didn't have the time, but maybe again I will. But the beaches there are meant to be absolutely insane. So they do call it the Hawaii of Japan. So definitely if you're into beaches and obviously the history of the war, definitely try fit it into your itinerary if you can.
Okay, now getting around Japan, I loved the train system in Tokyo, and it was so easy to use because of things like the World Cups that I mentioned in football and rugby. They have English signage everywhere and it is so simple to work out
really
how to get around the place. And now, of course, when you've apps as well, like Google Maps to help you around the place. How did you find the expenses though? Was it an expensive country to travel around in?
I suppose I came from Australia, so I didn't really feel that it was majorly expensive. It's definitely more expensive than the likes of Thailand and kind of Southeast Asia places, but it's not majorly expensive. I'd probably say if you budgeted around 100 to 150 euro per day, I think that'd be perfect. And a lot of your activities have to be pre-booked anyway, so that will obviously take away from your costs. But overall, I thought it was really okay. I didn't think it was too bad.
When's the best time of year to visit Japan?
So you want to stay away from summer because it gets really, really hot, and especially like going to the theme parks and stuff, there's no shelter. Even when I was there in November, it was still 20, 24 degrees, which was really, really nice. I'd probably say if you want to see the cherry blossoms, the end of March, the start of April, so around this time now, or if you want to still have a little bit warm weather, October probably would be the perfect time.
Okay, getting to Japan from Ireland isn't exactly easy, is it?
Not essentially, no. So there's no direct flights at the moment. So you will need to stop over, but you will be looking at the normal kind of stopovers, which would be Dubai, Abu Dhabi, Doha and Qatar. So they're probably your main hubs for that one. Or you can go through Europe as well if that's a little bit easier. Like London, there is British Airways via London or Lufthansa via Frankfurt. So there's loads of options there.
And how did you find the Japanese people? Were they welcoming to tourists in your experience?
Yeah, they don't go out of their way to talk unless you're kind of talking to them. But like their hospitality is really good, like in restaurants and stuff. And they really do try their best. English obviously is not that well spoken, which I was kind of shocked about. I thought they would have a little bit more English, but they obviously want you to try and speak a little bit of Japanese to them. So just have a couple of phrases when you're going on your trip, just to make it a little bit easier for you.
Okay, thank you very much for that. That's Caitlin Murphy from TravelExpert.ie.
The Last Word on Today FM.